T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF talking about Danny Ainge. An interesting comment by Jackie McMullen. Maybe he's close to stepping down. She kind of threw it out there. There's no source. There's no evidence. But eventually, if Ainge can't turn this thing around, what happens then? Ainge talked about trades in this ESPN interview, guys. If there's players we can get that can put us over the top and keep us under the hard cap, we'll do a deal that falls into that category. But we're not going to do it for a Band-Aid or somebody that maybe will help us a game or two. And so then there's an Eastern Conference executive who commented in this piece about your two young stars. There comes a time when you have to do something to keep those stars placated and show that you're trying, especially when they're young and early in their prime. You have to make that commitment to them. So that's the question I would have with Danny Ainge. I get it. You don't want to do something to do a rent-a-player and give up all your assets. But in the same sentence, do you expect that Tatum and Brown are going to continue to play at 100%, looking at it saying, we're going nowhere this season. We don't have enough personnel to win games in the postseason.
I think you got to do something. I just don't think you can throw a year away. You know, I don't. And you know what? There's moves to be made without using that TPE. I always talk about Harrison Barnes. I'd love to see him here. You know, I think a lot of people always mention him as a Terrence Ross. You know, another guy, you know, who's you know, down there in what, Orlando? They're not that. I mean, come on. Who's that? Wayne Ellington. That's a guy that I think Tyler always mentions. Like, there's guys, there's things you can do. And that kid, Terrence Ross, I think he's under contract for another couple of years, that you could just sort of show them. You know, listen, if they get past the deadline and they don't do anything, like, you're going to start talking about, like, the tough time of the season. Like, you know, you're, what, 60 games or 50 games into the season. Everyone's getting even more tired. They're playing even more. They're being asked to do that much more. You don't give them help. You don't give them somebody that can come in and be a scorer on a given night and take some of that, you know, pressure off these kids. Man, you might see this team down the stretch just die because they just have no help. They just can't do it. And you rotate them in left and right trying to find a diamond in the rough for a 2-3-game stretch. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I would worry about Tatum and Brown and keeping them focused in that situation. Here's Ed. He's driving around in a car here on the OMF. Hi, Ed.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
So, reason for the call, I just wanted to talk about something I was listening to a little while ago. And all you guys are, you know, like Christian, obviously you're an authority on football. You play at the highest level. Lou, baseball, you play at the highest level. Glenn, you did a nice job with Johnny Most.
Played at the lowest level.
But Lou, like you were talking earlier, you're kind of making excuses for the Celtics about, oh, you know, they don't have as many days off and things like that. Like, these guys, like, you guys are world-class athletes playing. These guys, as basketball players, are some of the best-conditioned athletes in the world. And no one plays defense anymore, and they all come down and just shoot three-pointers.
It's not true.
So...
That's absolutely not true. I don't know how much of the NBA you watch. There's more defense played in the NBA now than there ever has in the history of the game.
So get to your point. So it's not an excuse?
No, but I'm going to – Glenn, I'll agree with you at some point, but I turn on some of those games and I turn them off because there's 10 trips down that are all three-pointers. But, Lou, my point is, like, you're usually pretty direct, and I know the way you go at Belichick and things like that, but, like, why are you making excuses for these guys?
Jackie brought up the excuse. We said, is it valid? And I just, when you play a condensed schedule and a condensed calendar, and you play more back-to-backs with one night in between games rather than two that you're used to, I think it's legit. And the reason why I think it affects them so much is because there's no help. They're being asked to do it every single night. You have one of the thinnest rosters of a supposed good team in this league where others can have that bad night. Like, if you had another score, if you had a guy like Gordon Hayward, not him, don't get me wrong, I don't want that contract, then maybe if Kemba had a bad night, you won't lose every single time. Like, there's so much pressure on these guys to be great every night that and there's no depth. I think your depth gets challenged in a season like this.
You think that's why they can't close? Like, every game is coming down the end? They need that one more?
No.
Like, so what do you think is the reason for that?
Because they're inexperienced. As much as they've been to Eastern Conference Finals, I still think they're inexperienced. I don't like the way their offense runs. I don't think they have many options. I always looked at this as a roster problem.
Well, you've taken away.
How simplified do you want to make this? Like, why do they struggle down the stretch? I mean,
well, wait a minute. You can say all you want, and you did, about Al Horford, but you had an Al Horford here. You had a Gordon Hayward here. You have no Marcus Smart right now in the lineup. When you look at those guys and they're all out of the equation right now, you don't think that's a loss? You're replacing them with kids who have hardly played in the NBA, and you expect them to suddenly play up to their level?
You've lost so much experience, and you played this type of schedule with a bunch of kids.
Yes.
What do you think it's going to look like? It's going to look 17-17.
Exactly.
And again, I put it on Danny. There's no depth whatsoever in this team, and they're playing every other night.
Well, he is old, so he better hurry up and finish it. So I would say that I would say he missed his window.
He tried. He took a swing.
I would say he made contact, but it just went foul. And I would say we talked about this last week. It just went foul. Gordon Hayward got hurt. I mean, every time I think about the amount of talent that they had on their team at one point in time, like when it all came together from Gordon Hayward to Kyrie Irving to Al Horford to Marcus Smart to, both Brown and Tatum. You also had, who's the guy that plays for Charlotte now? I can't remember his name.
Terry Rozier.
Like, think about that. Marcus Morris. Think about that team.
Well, at least you got something
for Rozier. Think about that team.
Yeah, they put something together to
but
win.
But forget about it. But you had put together a pretty powerful team. Are they a championship? I don't know. They'll never beat the Lakers. Well, the Lakers weren't constructed at that point in time, okay? They were all playing in different cities. The point is that you had collected a bunch of talent, and look how long you waited. You were patient. You were disciplined. And what do you have to show for it, Danny Ainge? Like, what do you – for all your draft picks and all the trading and Trader Danny this and that, what do you have to show for it?
Well, they're
you're right back at square one.
No, they're in plan C or D right now, because the first plan they wanted to have is they go out and they get Gordon Hayward. He obviously gets hurt. Kyrie Irving. And then they're sitting in, and they made a great deal, really, when you unload Isaiah Thomas and you bring in Kyrie Irving. Now, it turned out to be a little crazy, but a hell of a player. But if you could have added that other piece along with Kyrie, then that was plan A. When plan A failed, and then Kyrie said, screw you, I'm out of here, and Gordon Hayward said, I'm out of here, Al Horford said, I'm out of here, where are the replacements for any of those guys? I mean, Kemba's supposed to be the replacement right now for Kyrie Irving, but he's nowhere close to that player. I mean, he's a good player, but he's nowhere close to that player, and we don't know if he's 100%. I think that's the biggest problem this team has. So now, what did Danny say in this offseason? Well, we're going to build with the youth and... Okay, that's fine. But now you're going through the growing pains of playing with the youth. And as Lou said, how long are you going to have two stars? They're all stars now. They're going to be with a bunch of other great players this weekend. And they're going to feel like they're part of royalty. And so now they're got a little taste of that. When they come back, how are they going to feel? In that they believe they're stars. They believe they should be winning right now.
It's the same story around the league. Like, why do stars want to leave? Like, why did Anthony Davis want to leave New Orleans? You know, like, I gave you years. You didn't put the team around me. I'm out. Why was there rumors of Giannis wanting to leave Milwaukee? Because I don't like the team you're putting around me. Go to every star. Why do they leave? Because they don't think their team has enough. And they don't like the direction. They don't like the moves that have been made. I mean, you're 2 or 3 years away from that. And time flies here. You know, you're 2 or 3 years away. To me, you show them a little something here at the deadline. You maybe use part of that TPE, whatever it is. Maybe use all of it. Maybe you go get another, you know, a smaller trade, you know, a bench player that's in that $4 million range. There's guys out there that can give you a veteran presence off the bench. And this team would look a lot different. I don't know if they could be good enough to win a championship, but I think the guys in that team would feel like you're doing something to help us compete. And now it's off season. Let's see where we can go with this.
So here's the question. What happens in the 3 weeks leading up to the trading deadline? Because I don't think you're going to be able to do it in the next 3 weeks. Teams are going to hold out until the end.
Until they get W's. And find a way to win, because you got to put pressure on Danny to want to do something for this team. If this team goes, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, 4-8 or something, 4-7, 5-8, you know, for the next whatever many games to that deadline comes. You think he's going to do anything if you're sitting there and you're still 500 basketball or a game or two under 500?
No, what I think
you'll
have
more excuses not to do anything.
And I think it's going to be difficult to do deals because there are so many teams that are still in the mix right now. Now, the Harrison Barnes may be a deal you can do right now. Sacramento has dropped 10 of the last 11. They are 4 games out of the playoff picture right now. So that might be a team that you can do it. But I'm not sure you're going to do it in the next 3 weeks because Sacramento is sitting there asking for a boatload right now.
Well, in that ESPN story, Western Conference exec on the Celtics trade philosophy. They'll only do something if they think they're going to bury you. I mean, we always talk about this around Boston, but how many times do we have to hear about it from somebody outside of Boston till we start really believing that Danny would only do a deal if he buries you? You know, a Western Conference exec. Like, we've heard this before from people. We've said it. I wonder, is Danny always asking for too much? Does he have to just win every damn trade? And not just barely win it based on someone's opinion. I'm talking destroy the other team. Does it always have to be that? Like, we're so concerned with what he gives up. He's not concerned enough with what he gets back. He doesn't want to give up too much to get the guy. I want to give up as little as possible to get the guy that we need. The guy you need.
Yeah, but wait a minute. I'm not sure they have great assets to give right now. I think in the position they're in right now, you might be true. That might have been the case in the past. If you're Sacramento, you're looking at Boston, what the hell do they have? So I saw the Bleacher Report had a hypothetical trade here for the Celtics to acquire Kristaps Porzingis along with Trey Burke from the Dallas Mavericks, and the Celtics give up Kemba Walker, Robert Williams III, Grant Williams, 2021 first-round pick, top 10 protected, and a 2021 second-round pick. And I would tell you right now, I'm not sure I'd do that deal. I'm not sure that Porzingis, you talk about Kemba Walker's health, what the hell has happened to Porzingis as a player? And health-wise, he can't stay out in the court.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that. Trey Burke, too, another one, like, I don't know why the Celtics could ever do that.
No. Porzingis right now, that's the problem with the Dallas Mavericks, is that Luke is playing by himself down there. He's got no help.
I mean, Porzingis still has, you know, 3 more years of his contract. So it's not like you could look at it and say, well, you know, maybe in the future, if he's expiring, we might be able to use that money and get what we want. We get out of Kemba for a year, you know, early, and we get out of that deal and use it. But I don't think you can't even do that. Porzingis is under contract, the same time frame. Makes no sense.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with Porzingis. He can't go and play for the Dallas Mavericks right now. If he was playing for the Mavericks and he was playing fairly well, then I could see. But he can't play defense right now. And that was the thing in New York because of his length. He was a pretty good defensive player. He can't do anything right now for them. And doesn't even show up. And so what are you going to do? You're giving up Kemba Walker. You're giving up Robert Williams, which might have, you know, some potential here. And then you're giving up that first-round draft pick. I would not do that deal, but I think we're going to see a lot of those deals in the next 3 weeks as we get up to the trading deadline. A big deal or no big deal coming up at 4:30. Dan Shaughnessy is having trouble, apparently, finding Red Sox games on his computer. We're going to get to that. And they have a new rule in spring training games. You can just say, I'm done. We'll get to it coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
I don't want to be inside your mind with your kinky fantasies. Like, I know it involves like a ham sandwich or something like that.
What is wrong with that?
Now back to OMF.
All right, back here on OMF. Big deal or no big deal coming up here at 4:30. I must tell you, I got a kick out of reading Dan Shaughnessy. I never, ever thought that Dan would be a cord cutter and would suddenly decide of getting away from cable TV and trying to stream all of his favorite shows. But he tells about his issue of trying to do it because apparently YouTube TV, as we know, does not have Nesson right now, so he couldn't get the games. So he switched to, is it Fubo? Is that what
yes.
it is now?
Fubo.
And he was able to watch it on Fubo, and he's, like, totally confused as to what the hell is happening. Now, he didn't realize that this happened a while ago.
Apparently, with YouTube. Dan hasn't noticed the Bruins season has started.
Exactly.
Because if you watch the Bruins, you also have the same problem.
Yes.
So, yeah, Dan obviously hasn't watched it, but it's funny because I obviously didn't do much research on it either. Talking about Nesson and YouTube, like, the two parties, negotiations broke down between the two parties. Yes, Network is not on YouTube.
Right.
YouTube TV did away with all regional sports networks.
I don't want to honor that.
All. So, you know, apparently Yankee fans don't care because he's all over the Red Sox, right? Because it's just, I don't know, it's just what he does.
It's what you do. You beat up
it's
on the Red
Sox.
It's
a cool thing to do so yeah. everybody can talk about it.
Here he comes. Yeah. Here he comes. He's going to shame you.
The Red Sox
here he comes. Look how comes Dan Shaughnessy.
That they don't care enough about their fans to put it on Nesson and they're cheap. And this goes with, like, the Tampa Bay Sox of the North, and this is why they don't want to pay for money for YouTube. YouTube TV has shut everybody out. Everybody out. This isn't a Nesson thing. It's everybody. But it was funny that Dan just noticed that Nesson's not on YouTube TV. Because, like I said, Bruins have played how many games?
Quite 20. A few. Yeah.
Yeah, so
they
just
are
realized
deep
the season
into a short season, by the way. Dan, I don't know if you know this. They're only playing about 15
I don't know,
games this year.
I'm amazed that he cut the cable. He cut the cord, and he said suddenly decided
he's got bigger balls than I do.
So if you're going to switch over to streaming, you're right, Lou. You better understand the territory, right? You got to know where the games are if you're going to watch any of these games. And so now we had a new rule in spring training where we have the mercy rule. Huh,
yeah.
How's that work? I mean, you just if you want to give up an inning, you throw the white flag out there and say I'm done, no mas.
You know what? Baseball has a I didn't realize this has a like a reset button. Like if you don't like the way the game is going, if you don't like the fact that you're losing in some video game, you know what? I used to just press reset, start over. That's basically what the mercy rule is, at least from my vantage point.
I know everybody's all mercy rule. They should have had this rule in place for years.
I agree. I have no problem
with this rule. I mean, seriously, it's spring training. Okay, they really should have. You know, you talk about the preseason football games. You know, during the week, those Wednesday practices, when they sit there and say, we actually can get more done here because we can do goal line, we can do red zone, we can do just create our own situations.
Yeah.
You can get more done. So you got a guy in the mound, Garrett Richards. So he struggled in the first. He comes out of the inning.
Press reset.
Bases loaded, one out. He's at 21 pitches. Well, you want him to get the 40-45 and pitch two innings. But it's the first day of his camp, and he's not going to roll 35, 40 pitches out there, so you just call the inning. So he can get his work in. That's what spring training is. Eovaldi did it the night before, but it was his second inning. He already got his pitches, so they just pulled him, brought in a reliever. But you're down there in spring training, Garrett Richards is struggling. You really want to bring some kid in from A-ball to come out and finish the first inning? Like, pitching change? Like, it's spring training. You want these guys to get there. They should be able to put guys in re-entry, whatever they want. You know, hey, I want you to get up in this situation. You go pinch hit. I already played. Who cares? It's camp. We're trying to just get everybody in shape. I don't understand what the big deal is.
It's practice. It's not a game. It's
in place for years.
I agree. I'm laughing at these people that are saying, what is this mercy rule? Why do they allow, just because Richards couldn't get the ball over the plate, they can suddenly shut down the inning? It's practice. What difference does it make?
I tell you what, though. So it just adds to the perception, Lou.
Yeah.
Like to non,
well, especially
non,
adds momentum. It's got momentum too. So
well, I mean, you know, so it's, like, so it's, yeah, so it's a piling on mentality. It's a perception that exists in baseball.
Soft.
Yeah, look at these guys. They have a mercy rule. Can you believe this? They just press reset. The guy was crapping his pants. They said, you know what? Let's act like it didn't even exist. Go back out there and give you a fresh set.
Mercy.
That's to me is like the damage that's being done. I mean, mercy. I get it. It's practice. You're running it. But the damage, I guess, you know, nationally with the casual fan is like, that's why I don't watch baseball.
Yeah, it's just like there's no, I mean, baseball, there's no re-entry rule, right? So how many times does a quarterback in camp, you know, start a game, come out of the game, and then Bill throws him back in? You've seen that before,
I know,
right?
But this would be like.
But why is he throwing back in?
But the equivalent of this would be like, okay, you're on the 1 yard line. You're about to score. The guy, the other team who's on defense now, getting ready to give up a score, says, no, we're good.
Yeah, but you're relating it to.
Let's go back to the middle.
You're relating it to a regular season game.
Oh, I'm ready to a preseason game.
But if it was a regular season game, you would.
Now three.
Yeah, you would sit there and be like, that's absolutely ridiculous. If people think it's the same thing, but it's spring training. Like, whoever wins and loses, nobody cares. They only care about getting the work in. You know, and for pitchers, it's a buildup. There's no other sport. Like a quarterback, if he went out in week one and played four quarters, you wouldn't be talking about how it's stupid because he's going to hurt himself. You'd say it's stupid because he might get hit and he's too valuable and he might get hurt that way. But a pitcher, he can't roll out there and throw 40 pitches day one.
Is this an unwritten rule?
No.
Or a rule?
No, it's a written rule, apparently.
Or is it an
now.
Understanding?
People didn't understand it.
They should do it.
But I'm with Lou. I don't. The preseason games, what have they played, Lou? 26, 28 preseason
30,
games,
yeah,
what, 30 or whatever. Nobody cares.
No.
They put Grapefruit League standings. Does anybody care if you win the Grapefruit League?
First, they're only playing seven innings.
That's it.
So the standings,
well, they're playing nine today, apparently, because it's on national
TV. It's on
TV.
ESPN. Yeah, right. But they got to fill the time slot. They got to
exactly.
fill the five-hour time
it
slot.
Is. But I have no problem. It's practice. I have no problem with this. It doesn't mean anything.
I mean, you're playing seven-inning games. So you're not even playing nine. So there's no winners and losers. Records mean nothing. You're there to get work in. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, does everybody get a trophy? It's like, what are you, why are you bitching? Yeah. You're just making it up.
And it's not
just
like
camp.
You, and it's not like you use your rotation the way you would in a game. You're just giving guys time out there to pitch. That's all you're doing. It's just, I laugh because people were all upset, like, oh, my God, they have a mercy rule. No, if they had a mercy rule for the regular season, Christian, they'd not have an issue with
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Not have an
it.
Issue with
like
it.
The
okay?
first, I would say these guys, their first two or three appearances, it's they have to get to, like, 40 pitches. They have to get to 50. They have to get to 60. And if you come out one day and you just don't have it, and you're sitting at 25 pitches, and they're like, well, I'm not going to leave you out there. You haven't pitched since in how long? I mean, how many months haven't you? I'm not going to have day one go out there and throw 35 pitches and get you hurt for no reason. So old rules, I got to pull you at the 25 pitches. Now I just set you back.
And you went back.
Because
next
outing,
inning.
I want you to get to 70, yeah. But you couldn't even get to 40 or 50 now.
Yeah.
So it just, it makes all the sense in the world to do this all the time.
Yeah, but it was kind of funny, though. He's
yeah.
got the bases loaded. He's like, no.
We're done. We're done.
No, man. We're yeah. good here. We're good here.
We're done.
What are you doing?
I think another lefty, I think the kid Hall did it the following couple innings later. Yeah, we're done here.
Why is this the first time? I feel like this is the first time we're even talking about this.
Because it just happened. It's a
it
new rule.
It just happened yesterday.
They played the third game.
It's only two games
happened yesterday and yesterday's
they
game.
Won't be the only one. I mean, this happens all the time in camp. But usually the guy goes, what happens usually is he would have thrown 25 pitches. Alex would have sat there and said, okay, you're done. I'm not having you throw 30. They bring some kid in from A-ball. 20 minutes later, the next pitch is thrown. And what happens is Garrett Richards then walks down to the bullpen and throws 20 more pitches.
On his own.
To get his 45 pitches in.
Yeah, that's true.
So why not just shut it down and let him face big league hitters for 20 pitches, get more out of it.
It's not like you're ruining the integrity of the
no,
game.
There
These
is no integrity.
Mean nothing.
I still feel like they should have like a Staples
games.
Reset button, and like the whoever you should be forced to go out there and press the button. Little smoke comes out, and like everything base is clear. You start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a video game when you were a kid.
Yeah, it's no
big. You get your ass whooped and you just reset.
And it's like I've already heard people bitch about the NFL and adding games. Who was it? I heard Trenny last night complaining about it on NBC Sports Boston about they're adding a 17th game. Are you kidding me? Does anybody look at the TV rage ratings?
It's just fake rage. I guarantee she said health and safety of the players.
Because she knows so much about the health and safety of the players.
I'll tell you what. I want 20 games.
I do, too.
I want to
watch
football forever.
I want 40. It's all worth it.
There's
a reason they're doing it, because they're getting ratings, and people will watch those games, and they can make more money on those games than they can for preseason games.
So it is a better model, because there was always a waste. There was always one game. It's always the last game. That was such a waste of time.
The preseason game.
Preseason games. Yeah, the NFL. Such a waste of time. Like,
game 4.
Half the time, they sent us home. You know, and God forbid you play in the, like one of those, you know, opening games, like the Hall of Fame game. You have five preseason games.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the other thing, too, Christian, is in the last few years, the last 4 or 5 years, you see fewer and fewer starters and veterans playing an awful lot in the preseason. You know, it used to be they play in game 1, and maybe they play a little bit in game 2 and game 3, and then they never play in game 4. You're right about that. But now, you don't even see a lot of those veterans anymore. So we don't need 4 preseason games. And they're going to make more money by adding a real game. And apparently it's going to be the Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys. It's at Gillette Stadium. Big deal or no big deal, it comes up next right here on OMF.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier, back to OMF on EEI.
You got anything to say for yourselves?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal. Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
Hello, everyone. My name is Chase Winovich of the New England Patriots, and this little guy is Zeus. This week is a really special week. It's known as Read Across America. And what makes this week extra special this year is that we have a group of awesome Patriot football players that are going to be reading you stories and taking you to places that you couldn't go to any other way. Enjoy.
So that was Chase Winovich. Patriot linebacker helping out and Read Across America, wherever the hell it's called. But that's not the real story. The real story is about Dr. Seuss, guys. Because 6 Dr. Seuss books will no longer be published because they portray people in ways, I quote, portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. So here are the titles that will no longer be published. Tell me if you know anything about any of these. And To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, If I Ran the Zoo, McElgott's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Eggs Supper, and The Cat's Quizzer. Super, sorry. So 6 books no longer to be published because they have racist undertones. Glenn, big deal or no big deal?
It's a big deal. I've got to go back and read some of this stuff. I never thought that there was racist imagery in these books. I didn't see it that way. Where are they?
Well, there are some stereotypes, like caricatures of Asians, of African Americans, that are in some of the books that we listed. That's why those are the books that are no longer going to be published. So what they're doing is saying, like, listen, you know, these can't be part of the Read Across America Day anymore. Now, the thing is that, you know, President Donald Trump and Barack Obama both used Dr. Seuss as kind of a catalyst for reading. Like, it was a big part of this Read Across America Day.
Yeah. So we just discovered this last week. Is that what you're telling me?
Well you tell me. Is it a big deal? Should they not do it? Well, why?
Well, I'd like to go back and read these. I saw this today, and I've never looked at Dr. Seuss books in any way of being racist. Never. Maybe I'm wrong. That's why I think we all have to go back and read it again. Makes no sense to me.
So you're right, because it says, you know, and I agree with you. It's like, there's white supremacy seen throughout, the study insisted, that anti-black white supremacist messaging throughout their books. And I just, again, like you said, you go through these books and you're like, okay, what are we talking about? And I think we just got to be careful. These books were, what, 70 years old?
Yeah, they're old.
You know, so we're trying to relate.
He was born in 1904.
No, it's just I think we'd like to think we're evolving. You know, in 2020, 2021, and we do see things differently. And maybe if you're making books, you know, in this current age, you're a lot more aware of what is going on, and just sort of looking back at books that were made and trying to tear them down. I don't know. I don't agree with that. It's like we talk about always like the morals of the past, trying to compare them to the morals of today. And I think this is one of those cases.
So if I Ran a Zoo was one of the books that is off the list, was written in 1950. So I would say, you know, to like we talked about Disney, you know, Disney and the Muppets. The Disney and the Muppets, they created this disclaimer, okay? Because they were having the same issues with the Muppets. So Disney said, you know, hey, we're not going to get rid of these shows or all these episodes. We're going to have a disclaimer. We're going to admit it was wrong. It was wrong then. It's wrong now. Enjoy. I mean, really, why couldn't they just reprint the books? Why couldn't they just keep the books the way they are and just change the couple pages and just, you know, re-illustrate them? Why couldn't they just do that?
I guess they could, Christian, but I think it's easier right now. I think Amazon has already pulled all of these books out. It's easier just to pull them off the shelf, say, that's it, you can't have them anymore. And people will buy them on another source, you know, eBay or something. And I'm reading this. Of the 2,240 identified human characters, there are 45 characters of color, representing 2% of the total number of human characters. Okay, so there are only 2% that are represented of characters of color. I guess that is an issue, but...
Listen, I went through it and I looked at it. There are some caricatures that are like, you can't do that anymore. And I can easily understand how, you know, people are upset about it. But it doesn't mean you should just stop publishing them all together. Because what are we going to do if we don't have Jesse Jackson reading Green Eggs and Ham?
I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse.
So apparently Jesse didn't have a problem with
no,
the books.
No, he didn't.
Time.
He read through the books. Right.
He said the most startling is the complete invisibility of an absence of women and girls of color across Seuss's entire children book collection. Again, books that are written in the 50s. Like, what's wrong with just saying, like, okay, it was a different time. Like, the books now? Yeah, the books now.
All inclusive. Lots of pronouns.
Everything else. But these books, you know, just have those sort of those discussions. But taking them off the shelf?
I hate how it has to be just black or white, one way or the other. There can't be any, like, you know, compromise with the situation. Like, somebody's got to pay. Dr. Seuss, you got to pay. All right, how about some good news? I feel like this is good news, and maybe it'll shed some light or what our future here in Massachusetts may look like. Because Alabama, the University of Alabama, plans to lift all capacity restrictions and return to face-to-face operations by fall, including in football stadiums. The university announced the money. So they're going back to normal, Lou. Big deal or no big deal?
Well, I think it's a big deal, okay, because they are doing this across the country. And I think you talk about the Texas governor as well, kind of in this. He came out today and said statewide mask mandate ends March 10th. All businesses can reopen at 100% capacity. But we're talking about areas that are so far ahead of us as Massachusetts. That's all. Right? You always talk about we're going to be the last ones. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal that it's happening other places. Now, there'll be a case study, I'm sure, unless the numbers don't support some people's cases, and then we'll just ignore them. But still, I think it's good that you are seeing it starting to reopen here in some parts of the country.
I think it's become all political, and I think that's no surprise that Alabama and Texas are going in the other direction because they are Republican states, and they have a much different look of it than Biden and the Democrats have right now. And that's the problem. I don't think there's any science involved in any of this. I think Massachusetts, you're right, Lou, is way behind and far more should be open. And yet people should be careful and we should have masks and we should still have some distancing. But to go 100% in the other direction, that's probably not the smartest either. But this is what we're involved in. We're involved in a political game here.
You know why this isn't a big deal? Because if you watch any Alabama football games during the year,
or the celebration when they won the national title,
are you kidding me? Like they were, it's like they never changed. They acted like they were changing. They acted like they instituted new protocols. They never changed their way of life whatsoever. So no big deal. All right, we're all about excuses here, especially with the Celtics. So does anyone know who Paolo Costa is?
ooh, this guy.
Oh, go. What? Go. UFC. You got your hand up. Go
Paulo Costa is a UFC fighter, usually fights around 185, and he got absolutely smoked by Israel Adesanya, the last stylebender back in September.
So he got his ass whooped.
Yes.
But that's not the real story, though, is it, Ryan? Like, the real story is his excuse.
Yes.
He said he got beat because he got kind of drunk in the octagon. Big deal or no big deal?
It
using
is a
alcohol
big deal, right?
As an excuse.
Yeah, this guy says he doesn't make excuses, and he's got one of the biggest fights for the middleweight title, and now he comes out and says, oh, yeah, I drank wine before the fight, and that's why I was hungover and I wasn't ready? Like you're trying to make an excuse for what? For your stupidity? That's not an excuse. That's just admitting you're just an idiot, and you didn't prepare for one of the biggest fights of your life.
The biggest, actually.
Yeah.
The biggest fight of his career.
Big deal. What do you think? Big deal getting drunk? Using it? I kind of like the excuse. What do you think, Glenn?
It's a big deal. I mean, you don't say this. Who was the pitcher, Lou, that claimed that he had... was it David Wells that had the
no-hitter?
And he claims he was drunk?
But here's the thing. That fight was 5 months ago.
It was in September.
It was 5 months ago. And now he's coming out talking. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, he's using an excuse here. It is a big deal. Stop it.
Well, you know
who lost the fight.
You know who else thought it was a really big deal would be Daniel Cormier.
Look, man, this dude, Paulo Costa, he's going to kill me when he see me. Because this dude says, he legitimately says some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't know who is advising this young man. He's going to say he drunk. This is the stuff you say the day after. Oh, man, I got drunk. Because you didn't have time to think up an excuse. It took you 6 months to come up with you got drunk. You drank too much wine.
That's crazy.
Who told him to put that out there, man? He's out of his mind, man. Somebody needs to slap Paulo Costa. Somebody needs to slap Paulo Costa and be like, yo, stay away from the microphones, dude.
Five months later? Well, wait, listen. Right when you lose the fight, you're not going to sit there and say, huh, I was drunk. They're not going to give you your money.
How about a week later?
Well, by that time, maybe, I don't know. Wait, somebody put a microphone in front of his face, and he had a moment of honesty. Maybe he was laughing.
The reason for him drinking the wine would have been a better excuse. He had leg cramps. It was Abu Dhabi, so local time in Abu Dhabi for that fight was 9 a.m. He's on a different, but no. I drank a bottle of wine.
Hey, it's 5 Can't o'clock figure, somewhere.
There you go.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Dumb.
Hey, let's do a little Brady talk, huh? Because we all got kids, right? We all like, you know, growing family. And now that Tom Brady is, he's got a 7th Super Bowl win, guys. So this is from OK. This is like a magazine, right? A little like a People or
OK?
Something like that. OK magazine. They have a source that says the NFL Titan has set his sights on the next prize. Ooh, guess what that prize is?
8th.
Baby number 3.
What?
It looks like him and Giselle are in baby-making moods. So what do you think there, Lou? Big deal or no big deal? Adding number 3 to the crew at his age.
This is a big deal. Why are you messing with something that's good right now? Your kids are old enough. You know, they're hanging out. They're like little tiny adults. Now all of a sudden you're going to be sitting there trying to play at 44 years old. You're going to have a newborn. You talk about sleep. What's he going to do? Move out? Knowing Brady, he might just move out. I mean, who's kidding who? They're going to have a night nurse, maybe 3 of them. But still, you're going to just add that to what you're trying to do in the last few years. You think having a baby, having a young baby, an infant, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, is going to make his life easier for the next 2 years trying to finish his career?
What's up, baby?
He's beyond that. Enjoy your life right now. Your kids are getting older. What are you doing?
What do you got, Glenn?
It's not a big deal because OK Magazine, a magazine I've never heard of, is reporting it. Where's it coming from?
Well,
does anybody
practicing.
Believe that Brady or Giselle gave this information away?
I thought he was hurt.
Huh? Please.
I thought he was injured. He just had surgery.
Please.
Surgery in his knee.
You know what?
He can still be active.
I don't buy this.
If I found out that my wife was pregnant right now, it would be a race to see who could jump off a cliff faster. Okay, I'm going to just put that. Let me just put that out there.
Trying to enjoy your sleep right now.
Oh, my God. I mean, listen, he's not losing any sleep. He could have. Did you see Alec Baldwin? Alec Baldwin keeps tweeting out on Instagram and all these places. He's got like 6 kids.
It's like Tom.
This is like his second go-around. He's added 6 kids to his crew.
I love you. Nannies too, probably.
Tom, the baby's not sleeping. Tom, the baby, we got to get some food. Tom, no.
All right, so Andrew Cuomo, he is having a rough week. Really a rough 2 weeks. But we're all about foxhole guys, right? We're all about protecting our own, back to back. I'm in your corner no matter what. Well, it looks like Andrew Cuomo has Geraldo Rivera in his corner because he gave a very bizarre take, which was on Fox News when discussing Andrew Cuomo and his current situation with all the allegations of sexual misconduct.
Now, I'm very sympathetic to these young ladies who have come forward. None, as far as I have heard yet, has alleged conduct that would be called sexual assault in the classic sense of it. I feel sorry for each one of those ladies. Their story deserves to be told. I think, though, that Andrew Cuomo, I know this is the most unpopular thing in America to say right now. He's a 63-year-old single guy living in Albany, the most boring town in America. He's all by himself, and single women come by. I'm not saying anything is appropriate. I'm saying that there's human nature, and we have to recognize that he's not
Geraldo,
a street
when you say
corner
that,
rapist,
you're basically
as he's
saying-
being made out.
Oh, I'm old school. I'm kind of used to that. The world's changed here.
Okay, Lou, I'm going to start with you.
Hold on. Voice of reason, by the way.
Thank you, Sean Hannity. All right, Jesus. So Lou, I'm going to start with you. Geraldo Rivera excusing Andrew Cuomo's behavior by saying, quote, he's a 63-year-old single guy living in Albany, the most boring town in America. He's all by himself. Big deal, no big deal.
Wow, this is a big deal. I mean, Geraldo, and you wonder why this went on for so many years, like in Hollywood, right? Because this was the opinion years ago. Listen, he's just having a little fun. I mean, come on. So he's using his power to intimidate. I mean, no big deal, right? To say that he's 63 years old, single guy in Albany, and he's bored? Like, come on, dude. What are you doing? It's like Andrew Cuomo's, like, apology, so-called apology, basically was, like, putting it on the women. You don't get my jokes. It's not my fault. It's your fault.
I'm a really funny guy.
I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. I was just cracking jokes. It's your fault you took it that way. This guy's opinion is so messed up, and this is the reason why it's been going on for years out in Hollywood, because of people like Geraldo Rivera with that opinion.
Go ahead, Glenn. You're up.
It's a big deal, and it also tells you an awful lot about Geraldo Rivera. My guess is that Geraldo probably has had some behavior that is questionable in his past. It has to be. How can you defend this? This is ridiculous. And he said, what the woman described is not sexual assault. Well, you're right, Geraldo. You know what it is? It's sexual harassment. It's a superior holding power over the jobs of these women and saying that you better go along with me or you're going to lose your job. It is a pure definition of sexual harassment. Geraldo's an idiot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's
idiot.
I wish I had something bigger than a big deal. I just feel like, okay, they're foxhole guys.
Idiot.
Like, they're foxhole guys with each other, alone, by themselves. It's a huge deal. Why? Just at this point in time, just admit 100% that you screwed up, and it would be so much easier. And this breaking news, tell me if this is big deal or no big deal, because Cuomo's been, he was applauded as the gold standard for how he handled the coronavirus in his state. Breaking 911. Cuomo to be stripped of pandemic emergency powers in legislative deal. Cuomo will no longer have free rein to order measures like quarantines and mask mandates. Glenn, get up on your soapbox.
Big deal
or no big deal?
Big deal. He's done. Cuomo's done. And I think the actual part of it, he had some support with the whole moving of the hospital patients into nursing homes. I don't know why, but he did. Until the attorney general in New York finally found out that he was fudging the numbers, and there were a lot more people that were moved and a lot more people died because of that. That was a major cover-up. But I think this latest episode is what's going to send him over the deep end. He will end up resigning.
Mm. Yeah, he's done. It's a big deal. He should be stripped of it. Given everything, all the stories that we have coming out from this guy, you're going to let him continue to throw out mandates? The people in New York now know what happened, and what was going on with him in nursing homes. And now he's going to continue to kind of tell people what they can and can't do after what he did? No.
Dunsky.
Is there a quicker fall from grace as far as...
No.
It's not even... It hasn't even been a year as far as where he was at like 4 months ago.
Well,
as far as how well of a job he was doing. Oh, let's give him an award. And now he's basically going to be pushed out of office.
Yep. His own party is turning on him right now. That's what's happening. They're trying to get rid of him as quickly as they possibly can.
Yeah, Governor Baker sitting there going, I played it right. Yeah. I played it damn good. That's big deal, Glenn.
All right.
That's a big deal.
Here you go. We got another hour to go here.
You never know when we finish the segment. Ever.
I'm just waiting for you to throw one more out there because I like the Amazon making adjustments to the app icon where it's comparisons to Hitler mustache. I would say that's a big deal, but we'll get to that next week. We got another hour to go right here on OMF.